This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
But I preached a message that I've never preached on this subject before, but we're entitled the message, Rejection Rehab. And all of us have dealt with rejection at different areas, different times, different seasons of our life. And we want to look at what does God's word say as to how to overcome, how to walk in victory over rejection when it comes against your life. And last week, I got a little bit more into the application of that. So if you're looking for the application of how to walk in that victory, you're going to get some of that last week. And then we're going to go a little bit further this week. And so I am excited about it. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're studying out of the life of David, and we find that it reads like this in the Message translation. Anybody excited about God's word around here? Here we go. Jesse presented his seven sons to Samuel. Samuel was the prophet of God. God had spoken to Samuel, "Go to Jesse's house, because there I have provided myself the next king of Israel." One of Jesse's sons is going to be the next king of Israel. God hasn't chosen. I love this. Samuel was blunt with Jesse. Nothing like a blunt preacher. Come on, somebody, right? God hasn't chosen any of these. Amen. He just gets right to the chase. Then he asked Jesse, "Is this it? Are there any? Are there no more sons?" "Well, yes, there's the runt." Isn't that amazing? Jesse, David's father, calls David the runt. That to me is incredible. The runt. But he's out tending the sheep. Jesse didn't even think enough of David to bring him into the anointing ceremony. This is going to be a life-changing opportunity, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, that one of my sons is going to be the next king of Israel, and he doesn't even think enough of David to bring him in. Can you imagine the massive rejection that David is dealing with here, that my own dad doesn't even want to give me the opportunity to have that, even though I'm one of his sons? What am I, illegitimate? I mean, this is rejection at its height. And so we see this. Yes, he's the runt, but he's out tending the sheep. Samuel ordered Jesse, "Go get him. We're not moving from this spot until he is here." Verse 12. Jesse sent for him. He was brought in, the very picture of health, bright-eyed and good-looking. Why is the Bible talking about me right now? Come on, somebody. Amen. God said, "Up on your..." It hurts me when you laugh. Amen. It hurts me when you laugh. God said, "Up on your feet, anoint him. This is the one." Just like some of you ladies came up in here today looking for your husband. This is the one. Come on, somebody. No, he's married. He's not the one, ladies. He's not the one. Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him with his brothers standing around watching. Isn't it amazing that the ones who had rejected him and dissed him now have to watch him be anointed? My, right? And so they were watching. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. Someone say amen. 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 We're going to pray and get right into it. Thank you so much, sis. Father, we thank you today that you will speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I thank you for fresh anointing to communicate, to preach your word with passion, with zeal, with fervor, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. We declare whatever's going wrong in people's lives, Jesus, you are still the answer. Your anointing still removes every burden and removes every yoke. We declare freedom today. We declare healing today. We declare deliverance in this sanctuary today. We declare that by your grace, we will not be the same. We will be better by the time we leave this place. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we declare that by your grace, we are overcomers in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 So then, I believe there's somewhat of an epidemic that has invaded our social and emotional environment. It is often undetected. It is undiagnosed. And many times it is underestimated. It is an epidemic that I am calling infection by rejection. Infection by rejection. I'm going to do a little bit of review, and then we're going to get into new territory this morning, right? Rejection is universal. It is ubiquitous. That just simply means that it's experienced by everyone. You can't avoid it. It's unavoidable. Everybody on every level and every space has dealt with rejection. No matter who you are or how much you have accomplished in life, you will ultimately and inevitably have to deal with the reality of rejection. This is crazy that even the most perfect man that has ever walked the planet, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, though he was perfect, still dealt with rejection. The Bible says that he was the stone that the builders rejected, yet he became the chief cornerstone. Isn't that amazing that even though he was rejected, it didn't stop him from becoming? Just because people reject you doesn't mean they can stop you from becoming all that God has called you to be. Amen. Haters are just elevators. Come on, somebody. You can hate on me if you want to, but you can't stop me from becoming everything that God has called me to be. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. And I'm not going to let people's rejection of me or disapproval of me. Come on. When did we give other people the scorecard for our lives? I'm not giving you the scorecard of my life. If you disapprove of me, I'm good with that because I know God has already accepted me. I'm accepted in the beloved. I've been chosen by God. I've been adopted in the family of God. I am in Christ Jesus. Someone ought to shout amen. I am in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have now become new. So then rejection becomes irrelevant because his acceptance is bigger than their rejection. This is incredible that they rejected Jesus. He was the stone that the builders rejected. Important people, religious people, people of clout, people of power rejected Jesus, yet he still became the chief cornerstone. Just because they reject you, just because the college rejected you, just because the workplace rejected you, doesn't mean you can't still become what God has called you to be. But if Jesus had to deal with rejection, if Jesus had to deal with it, and though he was sinless and he was perfect, then it is illogical for us to think that we won't have to deal with rejection as well. Okay, this is just part of life, right? Now, let me say this. If you're taking notes, write this down. When people reject you for no reason, it's not your fault. It is their loss. See, when you carry a spirit of rejection with you, you think that everybody's rejection of you speaks to your lack of value. But when you find out you walk in the spirit of adoption, come on, somebody. For God has not given me a spirit of fear. I've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I received the spirit of adoption by which I cry out, Abba, Father. So when I walk around with the spirit of adoption, what is that? My daddy loves me. If you then, being natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? How you serve, you don't just serve a loving heavenly Father. You serve a how much more Father. I wish I had half a church right now that could get happy that when I ask my Father for the Holy Spirit, he gives me the Holy Spirit. Come on, you can ask whatever you will, and when you ask in faith, not doubting, he will give you what you ask for. Hallelujah. Are you still glad that when you say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, that the mountain of depression has to obey you? The mountain of sickness has to obey you. The mountain of addiction has to obey you, because my words created the mountain, but my words can move the mountain. So depression, you got to get out of the way. Sickness, you got to get out of the way. Jesus bore my sicknesses, carried away my pains, and by his stripes I was healed. Come on, if you love him and you're glad that when you pray he still answers, give him some praise in here this morning. Ooh, somebody say yes. So you don't want to carry the spirit of rejection and think that everybody's rejection of you means that you are worth less, right? And if we're not careful, we carry this ideology that when I go about my life and people reject me, then I become worth a little bit less. And then I get rejected at Starbucks and I feel a little bit less, right? I go to Walmart and they treat me like I'm unimportant. I mean, my God, it's Walmart. Everybody should be important. Amen. My God, you didn't get led by God to Walmart. You got led by the devil. No, come on, I'm just playing, right? But if you're not careful, you go into all of these places and go throughout your life, and then friends treat you a particular way. Isn't it amazing how you can even start feeling rejected when you're texting somebody? You're like, oh, I'm not even worth four words. Okay, right? I'm just worth an emoji. I'm not even worth you typing words. Right? Well, let me show you this emoji. Thumbs down. Amen. Right? Poopy face. Come on, somebody, right? But if you're not careful, you carry that rejection into relationships, and then you go to work and you feel a little bit rejected because you weren't as competent as the other person, and so the other person is producing more than you, and so now you feel rejected. You feel a little bit worth less than you did before you got there. And if we're not careful, we get to a place where we feel so low because there's a spirit of rejection loose in the world. Why is rejection so prevalent? They tell us that rejection is one of the most painful emotions that a human being can deal with, right? This is one of the most painful emotions that a human being can deal with. And I truly believe that. Where did this come from? This came from the beginning of time, even before Adam and Eve were created, the beginning, right? Like before the beginning, this happened in heaven when Lucifer was beautiful. Satan, who is now Satan, was Lucifer. He was the worship leader in heaven. He was beautiful. He had instruments inside of his body. He was the worship leader in heaven. He was the son of the morning. And all of a sudden, he got full of himself. Come on, somebody. Got full of himself, became prideful, and he says, I will ascend above God. I will make my throne above God. I will do this. I will do that. And all of a sudden, boom, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Amen. Right? I mean, he was like these MMA fighters that are all bark and no bite. Come on, somebody. I'm going to do this to him. I'm going to own him. I'm going to make him pay. I'm going to make his mama cry. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make sure he never wants to get in the ring again. And then gets in, 3 seconds, boom, knocked out. You know what I'm saying? Come on, the devil is all bark and no bite. He has been stripped of his authority. Jesus Christ defeated him. I feel like preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus got up on a cross, took stripes upon his back, died on the cross, and then went down into hell, defeated the devil, all of his forces, paralyzed the devil. Every demon has been paralyzed. He has been defeated. And on the third day, Jesus came out with the keys of death and of hell. And he says, I was dead and now I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell. Is anybody grateful that the devil has been defeated? Right? But the reason all of this happened is because the devil said, I'm going to do this. He got knocked out of heaven. So the devil said, I'm going to make my throne above God. I'm going to sin. And then he got rejected out of heaven. And so now he is trying to, because see, now the devil, there's no hope for him. He's not redeemable. So his rejection is eternal. So now he knows what eternal rejection feels like. So now the devil is trying to project his rejection. That's why you feel rejected, because the spirit of rejection is loose in the world, because the devil wants you to know how it feels to be rejected. But the good news is he's been defeated, and once you identify where the rejection is coming from, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Someone ought to shout amen. All right, so then we see this. Now let's talk a little bit about it. Can we talk? Here we go. All of us have experienced rejection on many different levels, right? Let me just give you a few examples. If you didn't get the job that you applied for, that's a level of rejection. If you failed to get the promotion that you applied for, there's a level of rejection there. If you've ever been left or someone broke it off in a relationship, there's obviously a level of rejection there. If you weren't selected for the team or for the cheerleading squad, or if you weren't selected for the sorority or the fraternity, or if other families are in the country club and you're not yet able financially to get in the country club, you feel rejected. You feel less than. It's all these things that we go through in our social, you know, infrastructure and all those things. If you slid into her DMs and she sent you right back out, there's a level of rejection. And all the older people are like, what are DMs? There are direct messages on social media whereby people hook up these days. Keep it holy. Come on, somebody. If you go hook up, keep it holy. Amen. Amen. But anyway, there's a level of rejection there. And let's get a little closer to home, a little bit more serious. If you've dealt with, as a child, your parents got separated or got a divorce, you had both parents tucking you in and parenting you and helping you. And then all of a sudden, through this set of circumstances, now you have one parent or tucking you in and raising you, and then maybe another person comes into your life. And if you've come through a life of difficulty that way, there's rejection on levels that maybe we're even unable to deal with, unable to figure out how to navigate those things. And then if you've dealt with the divorce yourself, there's obviously a level of rejection, no matter how painful, no matter how maybe toxic the relationship is. When it's done, and there's a level of rejection. There's no condemnation for those who have been through anything like this. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation for anyone who's been through that, anyone who has dealt with that. There is grace, there is victory, there is help for you. But we also need to allow God to bring healing to those wounds. Amen? And so that's why we're talking about some of these things. Now, let me give you my working definition of rejection. Okay, for this message, here it is. A refusal on the part of someone else to accept and appreciate you for who you are and who you are not. For who you are, and because some people will accept you for who you are, but then they'll reject you for who you are not. Okay, and this is that thing that it's a performance thing. This is an unconditional love. This isn't the love of God that I love you. I love you as you are, and I will help you get better. I'm the potter, you're the clay. I will help you become what I've called you to be. But I love you unconditionally through your flaws and all those things. This kind of love, it says, I love you. I accept you if you're what I want you to be, but I reject you when you are no longer what I want you to be. Okay, and this is this natural kind of love that the world deals with, right? Etymologically, etymology is the study of words. And so etymologically, when you study the word rejection, it means to throw backwards. That this is what the devil wants to do when he brings rejection against your life. He wants to throw your life backwards. He wants to impede your progress. He wants to inhibit advancement. He wants to block your blessing by throwing you backwards through rejection. This is the plan of the enemy. But the good news about this is that the devil can only work in darkness. And the Bible says the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So this morning we're shining a big old light on the lies of rejection. We're going to get it removed out of the way and we're going to walk in victory. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Now, so rejection is a weapon that the enemy uses to wound the soul. Okay, this is a little bit of review, right? I know you're quiet, but maybe you are quiet because we've all dealt with something like this, right? A soul wound is a different kind of wound, right? A soul wound is a different kind of wound because it's a wound that bleeds internally. You can be bleeding and no one else outside knows it. You can put on a smile in front of everybody else, but inside you're bleeding. This is one of those things, right? When there's an internal wound from rejection, you can be hemorrhaging and not even know it. This is why all of a sudden you hear of people, they just lost it. No, they have been internally bleeding. Come on, somebody. They've been internally bleeding. They needed Jesus to help bring healing. They needed to allow God to come in and bring healing to that through the word of God and through faith in God. But because it was not addressed, because it was not tended to, they've been internally bleeding, and therefore now it is causing outward behavior. Is this all right? All right. So then, unaddressed wounds are subject to infection, right? The wound might not kill you, but the infection left untreated will. My grandma used to always tell me, now, baby, let me put some peroxide on that. I'm like, Grandma, I just snagged my nail. Let me put some peroxide on that. Let me put some alcohol on that. I don't want the peroxide to boil on top of my skin. But she'd say, but baby, if you don't put the peroxide on it, then it can get infected. I said, I don't care. I'm little. I don't know nothing about no infection. I want to go play without stuff boiling on top of my skin. That's scary. Y'all don't know about peroxide? Y'all don't know nothing about my life. My grandma had peroxide on everything. Like, you just barely nick yourself. Peroxide. Straight up, man. She gonna make sure I was disinfected all the time. And so, but then I found out, she's now, baby, if that gets infected, you'll have to go to the doctor. Put that on me real quick. Put that on me. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? So you've got to address what's been infected. And I believe that through the healing of the word of God, the Bible says that he sent his word and he healed us and delivered us from our destruction. So right now, this word is being sent into every one of you that will receive it. And if you'll open yourself to the Lord Jesus and his word, he will come in by his word and he will begin to heal those infections. The Bible says in the book of Malachi that the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. All right. That's why we're talking about rejection, so that God can bring healing to it, and then we can walk in the acceptance of God and then the victory that he has for our lives. If you believe it, you can say amen. Amen. Now, let's get to this. God says to Samuel, go to Jesse's house because there I provided myself a king. Samuel rose up to Jesse's house and he says, Jesse, he says, there's a king in your house and you didn't even know it. Come on, help me right here, church. Greatness is in your house and you couldn't even see it. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes the people that you know the best value you the least. Just because friends or family might not be able to see the value that is in you doesn't mean it's not there. All you got to do is that, no, here's the thing. Their rejection of you does not diminish the value of you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesse brings all of his, oh yeah, let me just say this statement to be an addendum to that. Just because your family sees you often does not mean they see you right. His family saw him often. His family didn't value him, but they didn't see him right. They couldn't see the king through the shepherd. Come on, somebody. Oh, Jesus. He was a shepherd on the outside, but he was a king on the inside. I feel like preaching in here for just a moment. You might look like you're depressed on the outside, but there's still a king on the inside. You might look like you're broke right now on the outside, but there's a king on the inside. You might look like you're struggling right now, but there's a king on the inside of you. And I'm here to tell you, I can see through those shepherd's clothes. I can see through the drama. I can see through the problem. And I'm telling you, there's still a king on the inside of you. There's still something that God wants to anoint in you and use in the future for his glory. Man, thank you, Jesus. I feel like, my God, I feel like everybody in the room should have stood up right there. That was amazing, man. My prayer is that God, you minister through me beyond myself, so I'm getting blessed while you're getting blessed. I believe I'm a vessel. I don't believe I'm ministering out of what I know. I believe he's ministering through a vessel. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Wow, wow, wow. All right. So Jesse brings all of his sons before Samuel except for David. He rejects David outright. He leaves him out completely. Let's not sanitize this story, church. This is horribly unfair. This is favoritism and this is rejection personified. I favor these sons more than I favor you. I love these seven sons more than I love you. You're not even invited. You're rejected. You're worth less than all these other sons. Isn't it amazing? Oh, Jesus. Isn't it amazing that the father's rejection could not keep David from still being God's king? This is incredible, man. This story, I don't have time to get into it all today. We got to move. Someone say, we got to move. Yeah, all right. Rejection is usually the result of people's lack of vision, not your lack of value. Come on, somebody. Rejection is usually the result of people's lack of vision, not your lack of value. It's not that something is wrong with you. There's just something wrong with their eyes. Their perception is paralyzed because, hear me, church, you are amazing. See, We don't shout right there because we think I haven't prayed enough, I'm not good enough, I haven't served in the church enough. But God says, listen, I see all your flaws, but I'm telling you, you are amazing. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen generation. You are God's masterpiece. You are amazing, flaws and all. Even with your perfect imperfection, John Legend. Come on, somebody. Because all of me loves all of you, all your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfection. Because all of me loves all of you. Say, Pastor, how do you know that song? I sing it to my wife right here on the front row. Come on, somebody. It's about to be a good night tonight. Come on, somebody. And God wants you to know, you might have some flaws, you might have some edges, you might have some imperfections, but he still loves all of you, and he will use you. Somebody give God 5 seconds of unadulterated praise in here this morning.
I can't hear you. You sound like you're half dead. Somebody give him a shout of praise.
Somebody say amen. Ooh, you're not perfect, but you are enough. Come on, church. You're not perfect, but you are enough. Your worth was determined on the cross 2,000 years ago. The highest price ever paid for anything was paid for your life. It was the precious, sinless, spotless blood of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. There was not a higher price. Value is determined by the price someone's willing to pay. I like classic cars. Don't get mad at me. I like them. I like Cobras. I like Chevelles. I like Mustangs. I like Roadrunners, right? I like Mopar. I like Chevy. I like Ford. I don't discriminate. Come on, somebody. I like them, right? And they say, we're not sure exactly of the market right now for Cobras. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. But the moment we see what the first one goes for, that sets the market for the rest of them. The reason why the devil can make you feel rejected and like you're not very valuable is because you are forgetting the market value's already been set for you. It was paid 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. He says, I'm going to bankrupt heaven. I'm going to give you the most valuable thing that the universe has ever known or seen. It's the precious, sinless, spotless blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the blood still reaches to the highest mountain and it still reaches to the lowest valley. The blood still never loses its power. It's come on, somebody give Jesus some praise for the blood. Reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power. Come on, somebody. Now, don't just applaud for me. Let's give him praise for the blood of Jesus that set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. I still plead the blood. I said, I still plead the blood. When I pray for my baby boys at night, they don't like to go to sleep unless mama and daddy both come in and pray. And I lay my hand on their head and I say, Father, I thank you that you keep my boys and that angels watch over them. I plead the blood of Jesus over my boys. Hallelujah. Because there's still power. I feel my Pentecostal roots coming on right now. There's still power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Whew, hallelujah. Ooh, I could break into song right now. If I had a Hammond B3, we could have church up in here. Come on, somebody. I'm believing for a Hammond B3 organ. We're gonna have somebody playing. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all don't know. Y'all too white to know, but it's okay. Amen. That's a joke. I'm white, so I can make cracker jokes. Amen. 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 Someone, the old church mama said, well, he's white, but he's not all white. Amen. Amen. Here we go. I don't know. Anyway, all right, here we go. Matthew chapter 10, before I get myself in further trouble. Amen. I got 2 minutes. Someone say 2 minutes. If you believe that, I got some oceanfront real estate in Oklahoma for you to buy. Amen. You'll go catch that on the way home. Matthew 10:14. Last thing. How many of you think Jesus knows anything about rejection? Yeah, he kind of knows everything about everything. Right? He's omniscient, as people who want you to think that they're more intelligent than they are. That's the way that they pronounce it. Omniscient instead of omniscient. Amen. My wife's looking at me like, this is a little awkward. Amen. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, and whoever, Jesus said to his disciples, and whoever will not receive you, Jesus said, whoever rejects you Come on, church. Whoever rejects you and they will not hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Let me break this down a little bit. Jesus said, if they reject you, then you just walk out and shake off the dust from your feet. It's a metaphor. It's symbolic. Jesus is saying, don't take the dirt of rejection from this village into the next one. Don't take the dirt of rejection from this relationship into the next relationship. Don't take the dirt of rejection from this job into the next job. Don't take the dirt of rejection from this mindset into your next mindset. Don't take the rejection from this year into next. Come on, somebody. In the next year, you got to shake that dirt off. Someone say, shake it off. Shake it off. All right, I don't know what's going on with me right now. Jesus said, there's no way you can get rejected and the dirt not get on you. Just make sure it doesn't stay on you. He didn't say you'd never have dirt on you. He didn't say you'd never feel the effects of rejection. He just said, with my help, I just gave you my word. You can shake this stuff off. You can shake this stuff off by faith. Someone say, by faith. When you get rejected, bitterness may try to take hold of you, but shake it off. When you get rejected, anger may try to take hold of you, but shake it off. When you get rejected, retaliation may try to rise up in you. Am I talking to the real church or the fake one? When you get rejected on the highway, come on sometime, come on. Right? You want to give them spear fingers. No, 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 don't do that. Just pray for them, amen, pray for them. Right? But, right, retaliation tries to rise up on the inside of you. And this is what you tell them, you know. If it was the old me, you'd be in trouble right now. Because I'm about to get real ratchet on you right now. It's about to get real hood up in here right now. Right? It was about to get straight out of Compton. No, straight out of Salinas, all right? Right? But because Jesus has changed my life, I'm going to put this iced tea back in the fridge. Because if I spilt this iced tea all over, it'd be a big mess. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you because I know God fights my battles. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Last couple things right here. Jesus said this. Even though people in one village didn't appreciate you, there's people in the next village that are waiting for you. Catch that. This is revelation from heaven. Jesus says, if you walk into a village or a city or a house and they reject you, just kindly walk out, shake the dust off of your feet, because there's people in the next village that are waiting on you. Here's what God is saying to you. There's a new season with new people who are waiting not just to tolerate you, they're waiting to celebrate your arrival. This is a word from Almighty God, because there were cities that they would go into and the cities would rejoice and celebrate that salvation had come to them. There's people in your next season who will celebrate who God has made you to be. Somebody ought to say amen. 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 Jesus said, I need you not to get caught up in the rejection of the last, because there are people who have been praying that you would come into the next. The devil wants you caught up in your last season. Jesus wants you to know he has your next season. Your next season is always greater than your last season. The house of the righteous grow. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says the latter reign of the house is greater than the former reign of the house. The Bible says the end of a thing is greater than the beginning of a thing. So my next season will be greater than this season. I just got to shake the dust off from this last village, because God's got a new village for me to walk up into. Yay! I hope that brings healing to somebody. Amen. You may have been rejected in the last, but you are an answer to prayer in the next. Y'all can't sleep on me. I'll get you. You may have been rejected in the last, but you are an answer to prayer in the next. Amen. Last things. Can you take two more things? It's not my fault the service went a little long. We had to dedicate children to the Lord. Amen. Hey, baby, this is the 11:30. Come on, somebody. This is like church on steroids a little bit. Amen. Last couple things here. I love this. Oh, I love this. Write this down if you're taking notes. When you choose to press through the rejection and move forward, you are ultimately proving that the one who rejected you does not have the final say over you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk about this very quickly and get to my last thing here. In the 1970s, I was born in the early 80s, so I missed the front end of this. But I remember growing up and hearing about this football player, that he was one of the best running backs to ever lace him up in the NFL. 1975, he came out of Jackson State University. He was the fourth overall pick in the NFL draft in 1975. He would end up becoming a three-time league MVP and a Super Bowl MVP in 1985. His name was Walter Payton, but his nickname was Sweetness. Mm-hmm. Some of you need some sweetness, amen. I can tell by looking at you that you're a little salty, amen. No, it's a joke. But Sweetness was one of the hardest runners that the NFL had ever seen. He's one of the greatest running backs of all time. And the thing about Sweetness is that he would take horrible, vicious hits. He would take so much punishment, but he became one of the first ones that made pumping your knees famous, because they would hit him so hard that a lesser man would have been clobbered on the ground, but Sweetness would just keep moving his knees and keep on moving forward. And even when they did take him down, no matter how hard the hit was, no matter how vicious the hit was, he would pop right back up and run back to the huddle. Right? And so then they inducted him into the Hall of Fame, and the sports writer that was interviewing him for the Hall of Fame asked him the question, Mr. Payton, why is it that when you took such vicious hits and punishment that, like other runnings back, they would take time to gather themselves? They would take time to gather themselves and get back up and then slowly limp over or get back over to the huddle, but you wouldn't do that. You would just pop right back up and run back to the huddle. And Payton said, because I had to make certain that the one who hit me didn't know that he hurt me. And sometimes we need to adapt the spirit of faith and say, even though that felt like it hurt, I'm going to keep on running like it didn't. Because I'm not going to let anybody know that they hit me hard enough to keep me down. I'm going to keep on moving forward. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Here's what God told me about that. He said, it's time for some of us to lose our limp. It's time for some of us to lose our limp. Self-pity, insecurity, dejection, depression. We can lose our limp. We can receive God's acceptance, and we can run again in the race that God has called us to win. Somebody say amen. Wow. Here's what God said to me about this. He said, there's supernatural grace and empowerment here this morning for you to lose your limp and catch your stride. Lord, I receive it. I receive it. Father, I thank you that internal mindsets and internal emotional limps, Father, that we have embraced, that we have received, that we reject those things, and that God, right now, by the grace of God, we receive supernatural empowerment to lose that internal emotional limp in the name of Jesus. That God, we catch our stride, that we catch the stride of the Holy Spirit, that we catch the stride and the wind of the Holy Spirit, and we begin to run and we begin to walk the walk that you've called us to and run, Father, the race that you have called us to. Father, I thank you that people are losing their limp and catching their stride by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you receive that, somebody say amen. Last thing here, just because it's third service. There was a man named Abraham in the Old Testament, one of the greatest men of faith. He's called the father of faith. And the Bible says that him and his wife, Sarah, could not bear children. She was barren. And so they came up with this idea. It was a fleshly idea, but they came up with the idea, let Abraham sleep with Hagar, Sarah's servant. I mean, I can kind of tell from the onset, this is not a good idea, right? Sarah is Abraham's wife, and she asks her servant Hagar to sleep with Abraham so that Hagar could bear Sarah a son. And as you know, when we get out of God's timing and try to do it ourselves, many times what we produce fights with God's promise. God had a promised child for Sarah and Abraham that came later, but they tried to get it early. Come on, somebody. Right? And so, with this being said, that now they do this, and eventually, of course, Sarah has great resentment and bitterness towards Hagar, and she puts pressure on Abraham to kick them out of the house. Hagar has no way to take care of this new precious baby. Hagar has no source of income. Hagar has no ability to do anything except be what she's been to Sarah. And so now they're out in the wilderness. Her and this baby are out in the wilderness by themselves. They've eaten all of their food. They have no more water left. Hagar now puts her child under a bush because she could not bear the thought of watching her child die. This is the height of rejection. They've been rejected from Abraham, from the family that they grew up in. Are you following me? And the Bible says that Hagar lays down and God comes to Hagar. And God reveals a hidden spring of water. And the Bible says that God pronounces blessing and favor over Hagar. She's refreshed. She's renewed. She's restored by the spring. Her and the son live on. Come on, somebody. And they get to live out the rest of their life because God came to Hagar in her misery and in her rejection. And when I read that, here's what God said to me. He says, you tell them if they'll stay in faith, if they're dealing with rejection and it feels as though they're in a wilderness, as I came to Hagar, I'm coming to them. I am coming to them. And the same way that I restored Hagar and renewed her, I will restore you and renew you because I am the Lord that healeth thee, says the Lord. Amen? Come on, can you receive that this morning? Hallelujah. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, on the count of three, I just simply want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, you say, I've known God, but I'm far from him. On the count of three, I simply want you to lift your hand and we'll pray with you. Either one of those invitations, and all of heaven is waiting. One, two, three, lift them up. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, 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 yes. Hands up all over the place. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this, say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, with your help, I turn away from my old ways. I turn away from sinful ways, and I turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's rejoice over every person that just made that decision.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.